Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of community housing solutions, investing in our future. Joining me in the studio is Joy Horak Brown, President and CEO of New Hope Housing, and Nathan Kelly, Vice President of Finance and Development with Blazer Building Company. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
So, Nathan, I'll start with you. We're talking about community housing solutions, and in order to try and come up with a solution, there has to be an issue or a problem. What are some of the issues and problems that are currently facing the affordable housing industry right now?
You know, one of what we see as a practitioner in the industry is the cost burden that a lot of the families, and not only the city of Houston, but the state of Texas, are facing. Statistically, roughly 40% of households pay more or are cost burdened, pay more for their housing needs than what is considered feasible. So they're spending more of their than 30% of their income on their housing costs, so to speak. What that means is that money, rather than going towards childcare or education, health care is going towards housing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the other issues too, Joy, and that's why you guys do what you do, is that we're underserving that segment by not having enough product for them. And I've been to several conferences where they've always talked about the need for more and more affordable housing.
Well, affordability is at the root of the problem, and Nathan is accurate in saying that 40% roughly of people are paying more than is considered wise for their housing, and that would be 30% of your income for housing plus utilities. It's really interesting to note that the Kinder Institute for Urban Research has looked over the last 10 years that housing costs have risen most quickly for the lowest earning workers in Houston. And so affordability is critical for entry-level employees. So think about a teacher's aide who earns about $19,000 a year, or someone who just graduated from the police academy. Those entry-level positions are those that are struggling the most. And when the Kinder Institute did its survey this year, and they've done this survey for more than 30 years, they discovered that 35% of those surveyed said that they struggled to pay for their housing, and 40% reported that they were unable to come up with $400 for an emergency. So not only are we looking at a housing affordability problem, we're looking at incipient homelessness. We are looking at people who are solid, working citizens who are at risk.
Yeah. It's not a matter of them being unemployed or having some type of income. It's a matter of them having enough for traditional or conventional housing, and that's why we have affordable housing.
That's exactly right. And affordability allows you to have health insurance. It allows you to pay for food. And I know that sounds dramatic for me to say that, but food insecurity is a real problem for entry-level workers, for families. If you're a family of four and you're living on $45,000, even $60,000 a year, it doesn't take much of an emergency to be a crisis.
Yeah, that's true. Nathan, tell me, what are some of the obvious things that differentiate an affordable property from a conventional multifamily property?
From an aesthetics perspective, really not much at all. Mm-hmm. If you walked into a market rate multifamily property or an affordable housing oriented family property, the look and feel, both in terms of the exterior finishes and the interior finishes, how whatever it may be, whether it's flooring or appliances or fixtures, they look and feel exactly the same. Really, one of the things that we do in the development of affordable housing is take a mixed income approach, where we're serving folks at the lower end income spectrum all the way through quote unquote market rate residents, right? And so when we mix those residents across that income strata, we do so in the exact same unit in terms of fixture and finish. And so what I like to tell people when we're trying to solicit support, whether it be from a neighborhood or from local elected officials, is that it's easy to base or to make a quick judgment based on some sort of preconceived notion. But if they'll come out with me, walk one of our properties, see that it looks absolutely no different than any other market rate multifamily property in that same submarket, then they'll get a sense for the quality that we're building and the way we run our properties.
Do you feel the same way, Joy, over there?
I do, and we differentiate ourselves in a different way as a nonprofit. One of the keys to what we do at New Hope Housing is that we operate at the nexus of art, architecture, and nature. As a nonprofit, we are able to raise philanthropic dollars to add the plus, to put the shine on what we do. So we work with very well-known architects, and our properties have been recognized internationally on two occasions, nationally, statewide, and locally on so many occasions that I can't count them anymore, and we're really grateful, because that helps to let a neighborhood know that a product is being built that's going to be not just beautiful and not just like the other properties in the neighborhood, but better, a step up better, so that there's a sense of place, that each property is different and designed to fit within the neighborhood where it's located. We also work to offer services that are more robust than a for-profit developer is able to or perhaps feels the need to offer. So we'll have, at a property we're constructing right now, we'll be constructing very soon, we'll have a savings program to help people match savings, so that if what they wish is a renter with an entry-level job, if what they wish to do is, say, for their education or, say, for a single-family home, that we're able to help them in a way that's special. We're housing plus services, and that plus is in bold and in a very large plus sign.
Yes. And you mentioned neighborhoods. I mean, both of you with your companies develop properties. How do you choose a neighborhood? Obviously, you want to go to a neighborhood that needs to be served in this area. But how do you research and find a neighborhood that you want to make an investment in? Well, and I'll ask either of you that.
To a great extent, you're driven, of course, by your financing. Mm-hmm. And there are complex rules if you wish to access federal funding, use housing tax credits, as to what neighborhoods will be more acceptable. There's a scoring system. That system changes every year. Mm-hmm. It is complex and it is difficult, and it often creates competition where multiple developers are after the same very small area of town, which has a tendency, unfortunately, to drive up land prices. Mm-hmm. And then people wonder why affordable housing isn't inexpensive to build. It's no less expensive to construct than any regular multifamily, sure, conventional multifamily, and in fact, perhaps a little more expensive due to federal regulations. So you're driven partially by your financing, and certainly you're driven by need in the neighborhood and by elected officials in that neighborhood and their level of understanding of affordability, which is rapidly reaching the level of a national crisis.
Yes.
One that's not very well known, but mm-hmm. one that's there.
Right.
It all starts with real estate at the beginning, right? If ultimately the real estate doesn't make sense for maybe a market rate transaction, it most likely will have some issues making sense as an affordable development. To Joy's point, you know, we work with the local communities and the elected officials alongside the scoring matrix that the state dictates to make sure that we're placing a property in an area that is going to meet the stringent requirements of not only the state but our equity investors and our lenders. And so we try and take a really comprehensive look at each specific site that we pursue, not only from that capital perspective, but the likelihood that it'll meet that high bar in terms of scoring, but also be a viable multifamily property at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, the economics of the development have to make sense. Because the financial implications of it not are borne by the developer.
Sure. Okay. Well, we do have to take a break. We are going to be back after these brief messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen & Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of community housing solutions, investing in our future. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is Joy Horrock Brown, President and CEO of New Hope Housing, and Nathan Kelly, Vice President of Finance and Development with Blazer Building Company. Before we jump back into the show, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, you can certainly go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. We were talking in the first segment, towards the end of the segment, about neighborhoods and how you choose to go into a neighborhood and the steps you take. And Nathan, during the break, you were telling me that one of the differences of a conventional or market rate property is a market rate developer generally is, in most cases, could be a merchant builder who's going to build the property and then sell it to the next person. But you guys, because of the arena that you're working in, you hold these properties for 15 or more years. So you're making a commitment to that neighborhood. Talk a little bit about that process and how you communicate that to the community.
Certainly. A lot of that's driven by the mechanics of the program itself. And we keep saying program and affordability. In terms of the overall, you know, financing of affordable properties, we use the federal low-income housing tax credit, mm-hmm. Affordable housing tax credit. That tax credit is divvied up to the states annually based on the state's per capita population, and then each state administers its own program. Each year, multiple developers across the state, hundreds literally, compete for an allocation of credits. And based on the scoring matrix that we touched on in the last segment. And once those credits are allocated, it's a annual allocation for 10 years, right? So we've got to provide a certain level of affordability for 35 or 40 years, but we're receiving a tax benefit. Our investors are receiving a tax benefit for 10 years. Beyond that, there's some compliance requirements that really drive that initial affordability. So when we visit with our you know, our community groups that we're discussing a potential deal with, what we want to make sure that they understand is that while, you know, a market rate multifamily developer could come in, build a development, lease it up, and then turn around and sell it to the next iteration of ownership, we, from a just a practical perspective, are going to be owning and managing the property ourselves for no less than, you know, 12 to 15 years. In our case specifically, that ends up being, you know, even longer than those requirements.
Right. And Joy, I'm sure the same thing with your company.
Well, actually, we operate a bit differently. As a nonprofit, we have a different role. We are lifetime owners of our properties. Mm. So there would need to be a very unusual circumstance for us to sell a property. So when we speak with a neighborhood, we can assure them that it's New Hope Housing that they're doing business with, and it will be New Hope Housing they're doing business with 20 or 25 years from now. We also operate on a no-debt model. We have no foreclosable debt on our properties at this point. That may change a bit in the future, but mm-hmm. we will always minimize that debt as a nonprofit, and that allows us a little sliver of additional cash flow that we can use to assure a neighborhood that building will be beautiful 20 or 25 years from now, and that New Hope Housing will be the organization that is accountable for that.
That's great. So you touched a little bit in the last segment too on services, and I think you know, when I go into a market rate or conventional property, I see no evidence of any services that are other than we're having a yoga class this afternoon, or there's going to be a pop-up food truck outside for the residents where they do, you know, different events and functions, which are important to obvious resident retention and so forth. But in the affordable, you have a different type of clientele that is in need of specific services, and that may change from neighborhood to neighborhood or location to location. Let's talk about some of those services that you provide, as well as you know, how they're being accepted by the residents in those communities. You want to start, Joy?
Certainly, I'll be happy to start. There are a menu of services that are required by the Housing Tax Credit Program, and you select a certain number of those services, and that's your baseline. Mm-hmm. At New Hope Housing, we meet that baseline, and as I mentioned before, we are Housing Plus Services, and that plus is a very large and bold symbol, because we're serving families, depending on the property that we're operating, we're serving families who may have experienced homelessness, and we're serving families, very soon we'll be serving more families, who are entry-level working citizens who have not experienced homelessness. And so that range of services varies. I'll give you an example. This Saturday, we're having a festival at a 187-unit property that we operate near Sunnyside. And that festival will have face painting and food trucks and a dunking. You can dunk the manager. There'll be all kinds of games and arts and crafts. And it's a back-to-school function, and it's going to be a really big deal. On a day-to-day basis, we work with partners who offer services, whether that's case management that might be offered by Search, whether it's the YMCA, Theater Under the Stars, the Houston Food Bank, the Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. We have troops. Yeah. We're developing a small park this coming year at one of our properties, and we envision the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts will camp out right on site there on one of our parks. Mm-hmm. So we are there to help families remain stable, to stabilize, to remain stable, and to realize their dreams, whatever those dreams may be. It's critically important to us that we assure that a stop is put to generational poverty, that we do what we can to help make that so.
Okay. I think, you know, housing, like many other things, is on a spectrum, right? So to Joy's point, those families that have experienced homelessness or newly moving out of homelessness require a different level of service than, say, you know, our tenant base might, right? So our folks may need a little help with utility deposits. They may need some access to educational type services. And so we will work with the different populations, whether it be, you know, some of our senior properties or those serving families, to tailor the services at each property to the needs of that community. Really, you know, the affordable housing tax credit meets really all of those income needs from families just exiting, you know, homelessness, all the way up to what we talked about in the last segment of first year teachers and police and fire folks, or elderly folks that may be on a fixed income. So the credit really serves a spectrum, and we have to think about, you know, each of those spectrums needing a different level of service in order to advance what the ultimate goal is, which is to help them move not only from our affordable housing development to market rate multifamily and eventually homeownership.
And how, I guess, what is the primary funnel that sends a potential resident to you? Is it through the Houston housing or the Harris County housing? Do they send people out to different places, or do they just happen to stop by because they pass by it?
I mentioned, our properties, we manage our own properties. Our marketing is local. Mm-hmm. When we go in and develop a particular property, as we're making our way through the construction process, we have our management team engaged, our property management team, that develops a marketing plan that starts developing all of the, you know, the materials that a market rate multifamily mm-hmm. would develop to start pre-leasing a particular development. So we don't look to the housing authority necessarily for a source of potential residents. We feel like, you know, the location, as I mentioned, being as important as it is, we're going to have not only folks that are driving by and seeing the progress that know the type of product that we build from the other 30 odd properties that we have in and around Texas, just there being a natural demand for affordable units in a particular pocket, whether or not they, you know, have any support from a housing authority specifically.
Well, people can certainly drive by and see a property being built. In fact, as we're sitting here taping this show, I can see out the window one of New Hope Housing's properties being built right here in Regency Square. And so folks driving by are able to see that there is a product coming online that might be of interest to them. People do find affordable housing. They find the housing that they need, and they find it in droves. So there is never enough affordable housing. For every affordable unit that's needed in the Houston metropolitan area, let's say you're at 50% AMI, you have an income of around $35,000, $40,000 a year. For every affordable unit that's needed, there are fewer than 50 for every 100 needed. every 100 units needed, there are fewer than 50. That's why this is reaching crisis levels.
Oh, yeah.
So people find the housing that they need, and we do market, just as Nathan mentioned he does, and we do manage our own properties as well.
Okay, great. Well, we do have to take a break again. We will be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of community housing solutions, investing in our future. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Joy Horak-Brown, President and CEO of New Hope Housing, and Nathan Kelly, Vice President of Finance and Development with Blazer Building Company. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the flooring professional advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Nathan, we were talking during the break, and I've heard this phrase or this term thrown out from time to time, and it's NIMBY. And NIMBY evidently is something that is an issue within affordable housing. What is NIMBY? What does that acronym stand for, and why is it a problem?
Sure, Paul. NIMBY stands for Not in My Backyard. And really, it's a term that's been coined to describe different neighborhood groups or community organizations that come out in droves, really, in opposition of not only affordable housing, but multifamily housing in general. But we see it particularly pointed in the development process for affordable, because there are within the program a number of local regulatory and political hurdles that we have to meet in terms of getting support from either the city council or county commission, court of county commissioners, or the local elected state representative. And so, you know, when those folks have a constituency, they look to that constituency for, for their perspective. That this is different than any other real estate development process, as you might imagine. From a development perspective, engagement with the neighborhood associations, HOAs, and the like, to try and answer any questions, to address misconceptions that folks may have with respect to affordable housing development or multi-housing development in general. One of the things, you hear the same things at a lot of these different meetings, whether it's the impact on traffic, the impact on property values, crime, schools, all of those. And so we try and come armed with pointed statistics with respect to the facts that these our developments don't necessarily have an impact to any of those particular qualifiers that folks are looking to and pointing to, or that we are addressing things like traffic in the overall development of our sites.
You know, Joy, I've been to your website and I've also been to Nathan's website. I've looked at your properties, and I look at thousands of properties a year being in this industry. They're beautiful. They're beautiful properties. I mean, they're certainly not an eyesore. They're new. They're done well. They're attractive. The landscaping's immaculate. Why wouldn't somebody want to have something like that in there?
Well, very often the claims of negative values to the neighborhood, as you have just pointed out, are unfounded, and typically residents in the neighborhood don't have data or market studies to support their claims. Often it's a shield for a fear of having those people in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. people who are entry level, people who are working citizens, people who at the most severe end of the spectrum might have experienced homelessness, having people who are different from you. And NIMBY concerns, make no mistake, they can be real and valid. If someone were to build affordable housing in my neighborhood, and I hope they will soon, I'm in the Montrose area, mm-hmm. there's not much land and not much affordability, but I would want to be sure that that's a developer who's going to build a beautiful building, who's going to own that building, and who is going to manage it tightly. So make no mistake, there are real valid concerns, but if you're going to disapprove a project, make a well-informed decision. Mm-hmm. Have your facts. Listen to the developer. Take a look at what's been done by that developer in other neighborhoods. And don't get out your cell phone. We turned our cell phones off before mm-hmm. that segment, but boy, our cell phones aren't off very often. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to pick up a cell phone and spread misinformation, spread it to thousands of people, and do it very quickly. And it's difficult to combat that with the facts. I appreciate that you took the time to look at our websites and to make a judgment about the quality of what Nathan does and the quality of what New Hope Housing does. And that's what I would hope neighbors would do. And to have an open mind, because affordable housing is something, if you think about it carefully and you look at your own family and your own friends and their extended families, you know people who need affordable housing. You know people who are just beginning their lives and their careers, and that affordable housing will allow them to assure their future.
Nathan, I'm not wanting to put you on the spot, but just do you have a gut feeling for just either statewide, nationally, whatever, what percentage of properties get stopped at that level when they go to
I mentioned earlier that with respect to Houston in general, there are anywhere from 25 to 30 applications that get filed. Mm-hmm. That's a second leg of our application process. The first of every year, there are roughly 50 to 60 pre-applications that get filed. And so, I mean, if you just think about it with respect to Houston, that's, half of those going away for either lack of competitiveness or lack of being able to get, and generally that lack of competitiveness is a lack of the political and community support that these developments need in order to be successful. That plays out not only in the Houston area, but across the state.
What type of a time commitment is there in getting a property to that stage? I want to ask you the financial commitment, because I'm sure that varies, but the time commitment of
considerable. It's considerable. We start looking for potential development sites about this time every year, about September of a prior year. We submit an application in January. a follow-up application in March, and we don't find out whether or not a specific development gets awarded until July. Now, there's a lot that's going on in between each of those specific dates, including meeting with different neighborhood groups and local elected officials, making sure our potential equity and debt partners understand the mechanics of the overall development or in support from a financing perspective, and then working through different questions with the state agency that accepts and reviews the applications.
Yeah.
And of course, once you have your financing in place, it takes 18 months to build a building. So
right.
You're looking at a 3-year process from the time you identify a need and your ability to serve that need and actually opening your door and welcoming tenants.
You know, you would think that the city, for instance, would want to help streamline the process. And maybe they do that I'm unaware of, but when it comes to permits and things like that, I mean, you're providing services for that have a great need in the community. Do you get any support from the city in those regards?
We follow much the same permitting process that any other market-rate multifamily development would follow. In certain instances, after Hurricane Harvey, the state implemented some requirements that our affordable housing developments be started within a certain number of days after our allocation of credits, right? So the city has worked with us in those instances to prioritize the review of different permit applications to make sure that we can meet that need, that obligation that the state's placed on us.
Political will and assistance in streamlining the affordable housing process is critical going forward. Housing is a platform. It's your launch pad for the rest of your life. If you don't have housing that is affordable and that is an appropriate environment for you and for your family, then that social determinant of health, how housing intersects with the criminal justice system, how it intersects with education, falls out from under you.
Wow.
You can't be a child in elementary school, for example, and have your family move every year, every couple of years, because you're having to move out of a neighborhood that's gentrifying as much of the inner city in Houston is, and you can no longer afford it. And so you're moving out somewhere, and you're moving again and again, and pretty soon your child lags in education, and it's difficult, in fact, almost impossible to catch up.
Okay, that's so true. We do have to take a break. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of community housing solutions, investing in our future. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Joy Horak Brown, President and CEO of New Hope Housing, and Nathan Kelly, Vice President of Finance and Development with Blazer Building Company. I wanted to talk a little bit about, and we discussed this during the break, that it's kind of a fallacy, but when I went to a property a few weeks ago, a senior affordable housing property, the manager told me they had a 2-year waiting list. And obviously you said that's not a reasonable amount of time to have a waiting list for, but I think it does speak to the need. What do you find, Joy, when you have a property that's occupied and people are needing it? How do you handle that?
Well, you handle it as best you can, and certainly we look across the spectrum of our properties in Houston. We have 1,200 units of housing at 8 properties, one under construction now and another one in the wings, so we'll soon have more housing to offer than we do now, another 400 units or so. And we handle it by looking across the spectrum of what we have to offer and trying to help that prospective tenant make a match and then to refer them other places if we are full. And usually we are full. Mm-hmm. The only holdup in occupying our units would be the application process, which is federally qualified and can take a little bit more time than it would in a strictly market rate property. We don't keep a waiting list for 2 years because we know that isn't functional.
Sure.
We know people who need affordable housing need to move in right now, and 6 months from now or even 3 months from now, they will be somewhere else. So we open our waiting list when we have availability, which isn't as often as we would like because, again, as we've been discussing, there's a dearth of units.
What are the qualifications, Nathan, that someone needs to be able to meet a potential resident to qualify for affordable housing?
Certainly. We've talked about it in a couple of different of these segments, but we're serving residents at different spectrums, across a spectrum of incomes, right? Anywhere from folks earning 30% of the area median income, which for the Houston area is just shy of $75,000, right? So that that 30% for a family of four is roughly $23,000 a year, up to folks in the 60% of area median income, which is right at $45,000 a year. So we factor our tenant qualification, so to speak, our rental income qualification at three times. We want the income to be three times whatever that monthly rent payment would be. Mm-hmm. That alongside other management considerations in terms of rental history and credit history and those sorts of things are what we take into account when screening prospective tenants.
Okay. And Nathan, I'm sure you have a criminal background check just as we do at New Hope Housing. We do not have a three times income standard. Once again, as a nonprofit, we are able to operate a bit differently, and so that is not as stringent on our side.
Let's talk for a second. There obviously is, when we're talking about government agencies and things that change all the time, there's a lobbying efforts. There is an organization in Texas that is dedicated and for the affordable housing market in Texas. What is that organization, Nathan?
Paul, thanks for bringing that up. I serve on the board of the Texas Affiliation of Affordable Housing Providers. We go by the acronym TAHP, T-A-H-P. Website's tahp.org. There's a lot of resources with respect to affordable housing, our advocacy efforts, both local, state, and even some links to some national research. That organization, based in the Austin area, is charged with helping to promote affordable housing across the state, helping to educate not only the elected officials at the state level, but providing us and community groups with the resources they need to educate their local elected officials as well.
And Joy, I know you've been involved in the organization as well.
I've been involved with it for quite a number of years, for 10 years, in fact, and spent 6 years on the board and am still very active on a number of committees. It's an excellent organization to support the need for affordable housing and to do so not only through education, but also through active lobbying, with meeting with legislators and helping people to understand, elected officials to understand the challenges that we face as developers and that we face as a community in serving the citizens of this state.
You know, they just had, the organization just had its trade show a couple of months ago, which I was able to go for a short period of time to, and I was very impressed with the organization. I get to a lot of different conferences around the country, but it's a top-notch organization that the people there really care. Not only is that are the organizational staff, but the officers, the board members, the people that are involved in it. There were some great sessions that I went to, and it was a very impressive. I hope they're doing a lot to try and get the word out that they exist to other people in the industry.
Well, there's obviously a need. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. One way to address that need is through continually trying to educate folks, whether it be industry participants or local elected officials or communities. And so TAP has really done a good job over the years of promoting that effort, providing its members with the resources that it needs, and it's showing. Our organization has grown quite considerably, and the show that you mentioned, the conference that you mentioned, has almost doubled in size in the last 5 years.
So go to the website to our listeners if you want to find out more about it, more about the different events that they have, and when they are, and how to be a part of it. Joy, I want to give you an opportunity, and Nathan as well, to talk a little bit about how you got into this industry and then a little bit about New Hope Housing. And if someone wanted to reach you, how could they do that?
Well, I got into this industry quite by accident. I had been in corporate management in the oil business and then moved out of state. And when I moved back, the oil business had changed, and so had I. And I had always wanted to do nonprofit work. I saw myself in the medical center or in the arts. I certainly didn't see myself in housing, and most definitely didn't see myself in housing targeted to the homeless. But accidentally, and as I was moving around the city meeting people, I ran across New Hope Housing, that it was that point had 40 units of housing and no employees at all. So I'm ground zero for New Hope Housing. I'm employee number one, and I was part-time when I started. It has been a wonderful blessing for my life to be able to work and to serve in this way. And New Hope at that time was, as I said, very small and targeting working with the homeless, and most particularly the street homeless. The street is not an appropriate place for anyone in this country to live, and it's an extremely expensive place to live. It's far less expensive for there to be federal subsidies to help the street homeless have a roof and a faucet than it is to help them continue to live, and no one wants to help that. It becomes a necessity when there isn't enough housing, than to support the costs of people living on the street. So that's where we started, and now New Hope has almost 1,200 units, and we've spread our wings and are working not exclusively with homeless populations any longer, but with populations in need of affordability. The people that Nathan works with and Blazer works with, and whose incomes would be in the $25,000 to $50,000 a year range. So we want to work on an entire range of housing. And I'm lucky enough to have stumbled across New Hope Housing when it was in its infancy, and to still be here. The organization was incorporated 26 years ago.
Wow. And I guess one of the first things you must have done when you got there was to put together a pretty impressive board of directors. I saw the list on your website, and there's some movers and shakers on that list.
We've always been most fortunate to have an excellent board of directors. The seed money for New Hope Housing was raised by the people of Christ Church Cathedral, which is the Episcopal Cathedral in the center of downtown Houston, Houston's first religious institution dating back when Texas was a republic. And the cathedral summoned a number of people from around the community to help work on what they saw was a severe problem. And we have continued to be able to have active, professional board members who are well known in the community and who can help educate others just as the staff does, just as I do, about this problem and about the solution to homelessness, the solution to affordability is real simple. It's affordable housing.
Yeah. And if someone wants to get in touch with you or New Hope, how do they do that?
Well, they can call me at 713-220-0290, or they can email info@newhopehousing.com.
Great. Nathan, tell us a little bit about how you got in the business and about
Yeah, well, Blazer. You know, it's a story that's not too dissimilar from a lot of other people, right? We generally fall into this business accidentally. My background was in commercial banking. I did a lot of real estate finance work for the first 10 years of my life, career life. a lot of that focused on multifamily finance in general, and then found Blazer and an opportunity that was available with that firm. Blazer's been around since the late 70s, primarily as a general contractor of multifamily, which is still one of the largest parts of our business today. Mm-hmm. We've been developing in the affordable housing arena since the early 90s. We have nearly 4,000 units, mostly in and around the Houston area. And so it was just a good fit at a good time about 7 years ago now for me to join the Blazer team. And so I've been really fortunate to quote unquote, accidentally land in the affordable housing space. I've really fallen quite considerably for the mission at hand and trying to help solve what is not only a local crisis but a national crisis. So Blazer has been an active participant in this space really since the early days, and we hope to continue to be a leader in this space.
How can someone get in touch with you if they need to?
They can call me at 713-914-9200, or just email me directly, nkelley@blazerbuilding.com.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for being here today. It's very informative. I'd love to have you back on a future show. We can certainly talk much more about affordable housing. So thank you very much. We will be back next Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 a.m. KTEK. You're listening, or you've been listening, to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.